Thank you for listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev. Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Shogger, the Oilers get a victory on the weekend, and Laurent Brossoit plays well, and if anything, gives himself a little bit more confidence, his team some confidence. But we all know that Cam Talbot's the guy down the stretch for the Edmonton Oilers. But what impressed you most about Brossoit's game on Saturday?
Well, first of all, I thought he was better in both the games he came on in relief. I thought he looked a little bit sharper, and for whatever reason, maybe just coming in off the bench helps him be, you know, with his nerves at ease. With that said, he played really well in the win. I just thought some of his rebound control was a little bit off and was maybe a little jumpy in the net at times in the game where he started start to finish. But he's been really good. I mean, he's been really good, and he made some big saves, showed some good strength in some of the saves he made. He's a nice athletic goalie. He's in really good shape. Just really impressive. And I mean, you're right in what you said about the fact, I mean, Talbot's going to go, almost the distance here. He's their guy. But this was about the bigger picture for Brossoit in a lot of ways, too. Getting some late season action here has been really important for him because Peter Chiarelli has decisions to make for next season. And he's going to come up on the big whiteboard. He's going to write down a list of priorities for next season. And backup goalie is going to be somewhere on that priority list. How high up that priority list depends on how Laurent Brossoit plays and performs in this time that he gets. So he's trying to prove that he can be the full-time backup next season and that Peter Chiarelli doesn't have to go find another goaltender to back up Cam Talbot. That's what he's trying to prove. And his last three appearances in net have probably instilled a little bit more confidence in Chiarelli and his ability to do the job.
Yeah, I would think so. It's a small sample size. And, you know, there's not a lot of established backups that will be available. Like Darlene, I think, will go to unrestricted free agency for sure. But, I don't see Edmonton bidding in on him when they've got Cam Talbot.
Well, the nice thing is when you develop your own, or trade for one who's early in development, you can get them at a decent price. I mean, you don't have to spend $1.2, $1.4, $1.7 million on a backup netminder. You can get a guy at a decent price, and you can get a few good, useful years out of him on a restricted contract. So, yeah, I mean, it's to the Oilers' benefit to have somebody within the organization not to have to go into that unrestricted market because you do tend to have to pay a little bit much. So I think it is a small sample size, but Brossoit needs to paint a picture for them that he can handle the workload, that he can work well with Talbot, that he can improve so that Peter Chiarelli doesn't have that really high on his to-do list in the offseason. And that's what all of this means for Laurent Brossoit.
Drake Kajula, a few weeks ago it looked like there was 10 spots pretty much secured amongst the forwards and there'd be the fourth line winger positions battling. Kajula looks like he might have cemented himself now as the number 11, and really you got four guys left to battle for the one spot.
Disagree. Respectfully disagree. I think nothing is cemented when it comes to Jujhar Khaira, when it comes to Drake Kajula, when it comes to Eero Pakarainen, when it comes to Anton Slepyshev, nothing is cemented. That those players will continue to get opportunity when they play well, and when the consistency tails off, they'll be replaced at a moment's notice. That's just the way it is for these guys. So Kajula had to sit out, and he had to be sent the message that he needs to be more consistent. And then he got back in, and as has been the case in the past, he was really good. So the challenge for him is he's earned himself more opportunity. What's he going to do with it? I don't believe Todd McClellan is in a rush to cement anybody in the lineup in those positions or write anybody's name in pen. And I don't think Drake Kajula has done enough to deserve his name there in pen. He's had a good little stretch here, for sure. And if he continues, then absolutely he will do it. But he tails off for two games, bang, out of the lineup, without a moment's hesitation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I guess I just look at the way he's playing. I think he's really emerged on not only scoring points on the power play, helping out even Spitz on the penalty kill.
He's got a good little run.
Like,
for
to
sure
me,
he has.
Jujhar, Carineiro, Pekkarinen, like the only guy, like Hendricks and Slepyshev, I think are probably the two leading candidates to get the 12th spot. And Kajula, it's kind of two of those three. I really don't think when the playoffs come, Pekkarinen or Jujhar Kara will get in the lineup.
Well, and don't forget, you could see Puljujärvi in the mix as well.
No, I don't see any chance why you'd bring him up. Why? He's not. He doesn't help you on your fourth line. Who are you going to take out of your top nine? No chance.
Well, I mean, they could potentially have some options. I wouldn't say no chance at this point. I wouldn't say that there's no chance that Puljujärvi is here between now and the end of the season and for the playoffs. I think it's not as significant a chance as it was 3 weeks ago. But I don't think it's no chance at this point. I think that there's still some consideration for it, still eyeballing it as a possibility. I think they're going to keep a close eye on this Cassian Pouliot Desharnais line to see how that looks, see what kind of production they're getting from that line. I think that if they wanted to inject Puljujärvi's size and skill into the lineup, I think they could easily do it with Pouliot and Desharnais and play Cassian on what would be a really effective fourth line as well. So that option is there for them. I don't think they've written it off yet. And they'll just probably wait to see what Puljujärvi does. If they think he can come in and contribute in a meaningful fashion, I think they'd rather have him with the big club and experience that than in the American Hockey League. So let's wait, let it play out. I don't think it's off the table at this point.
Yeah, we will disagree on that. I don't. The only way I think they bring him up, to bring up an 18-year-old player to pump him in your lineup against your top nine guys who have been way more consistent when he's not dominating at the American League level. Like right now, Joey LaLeggia is producing more than him at the American League level. So and they're in a playoff race themselves. So he can play there on their first line and experience that. Then bring him up here. I don't see, unless there's an injury in their top nine, I don't see any reason why I bring him up. And even then, I'd probably put in Slepyshev ahead of him, to be honest.
But we're not watching him play every game, right? We're not down there with eyes on him, watching him play and his impact on the game. We look at a Hockey DB stats line and see how he's doing and how he's producing and talk to his coach on the air here and there. They're there watching him. And if they look at the way he's skating, and if he's moving his feet and not standing still and getting around the ice really well and creating opportunities and looking dangerous, 6'4", 200 pounds with the skill set he has and more confidence than he had before with his feet moving, that's tempting to bring in and put in your lineup, especially when you consider it'll give him the experience as well. And they want him here next season. So I guess what I'd say is we need to know what we don't know. We're not watching him play every game. We don't know the quality that's in his game. And I think if they like what they see, I think they need to consider it. And I think they are.
Yeah, well, the scouting reports I'm getting from people, he's looked okay. He's not a player that looks like a difference maker at the NHL right now. That's pretty much a quote I got from two guys that I've asked the last few games to watch him. Good player, and he's only 18. That's why Prev's that. There's nothing wrong with that. Because he's 18, but to inject an 18-year-old who has one career NHL goal and it came in October into your playoff lineup, to me would look a reek of desperation or looking to the future and not looking to the present. And honestly, I don't think Todd McClellan's going to want to do that, and I don't really think his GM's going to want to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, I don't think it would reek of desperation. I think it's pretty common for teams to stash their 18, 19, 20-year-old talents in the American League for the bulk of the year and then bring them up for the playoff experience and give them an opportunity to be around it and maybe get into some games. So I guess what I'm saying, Gregs, is I think they're going to keep a close eye on his game and the way he's playing. And if they feel like his game is at a high enough level that he can come in and be in the lineup and contribute, I could see them giving him the chance to do that. Maybe give him a couple games at the end of the year, see how he looks, and give him an opportunity. This is going to be a hugely valuable opportunity. Now, American Hockey League playoffs is too, no question. It's really good for players' development, and he'll be playing a more significant role there. But it's something the organization has to weigh out. And, you know, I'm sorry, but whether it's Hendricks, whether it's Kajula, whether it's Slepyshev, Puljujärvi on any given night can bring just as much as any one of those guys. The question is he going to be in a position to do it? And that's what the organization needs to decide.
Yeah. Well, I think the way Kajula's playing right now with the speed and everything and the experience, I honestly, I wouldn't, I wouldn't, I think it'd be a losing cause to put in Puljujärvi at this point. So,
well, let's see what we're saying on Thursday about Kajula's game, because the tendency is a couple of good ones and then falls off the face of the earth. So let's see where we're at in a couple of games with Drake Kajula. I don't think you should be too quick to anoint him as in the lineup to stay. I just he hasn't shown that consistency. If he does, he's earned himself a real good look here. Good for him. But I haven't seen consistency enough from that player yet to bar any possibility.
Yeah, I guess I just compared who he's competing against. And Jujhar Kara does nothing as far as me to say he's better than Kajula nor Eero Pakarinen. So it comes down to Slepyshev and Hendricks. And I just think the also thing is Kajula gets second power play unit time, and their power play units are going well. And I think that's going to, even if he doesn't dominate a 5-on-5, if he plays well at the power play, that could be that extra intangible that he brings that the coaching staff will value.
For sure. And I think the fact that, that McClellan used him on McDavid's line and got some immediate results when Maroon was a little bit banged up. So that he made a real nice high skill play playing with skilled players. So that's definitely a feather in his cap. The extra power play time that he's getting and converting, that's all good. So all of those are good signs and sort of pushing him in that direction. But these young players need to, I mean, so if he's not producing, what is he doing? Well, the answer can't be nothing. He needs to be skating hard and hitting hard. And so if the offense dips out of his game and he's shown, I mean, he's not going to produce at this level like he has the last few games the rest of the way, what qualities does his game have? And if he brings a high enough quality in physicality and speed, then he'll probably be able to whittle a spot for himself in the lineup. But he has not done it yet for a long enough stretch to just be anointed.
Oilers, Sharks, Ducks, and Flames, and the first three all within 2 points. Where do you think the Oilers finish now with 7 to go, considering that theoretically they have the easiest schedule with only 3 of their final 7 games against playoff teams?
Yeah, real interesting. I think, I mean, if I had to put a whole pile of money on it or my mortgage on it, I would probably bank on them finishing second. I think Anaheim is going to has a real good chance to take this division. I think they're playing best out of all those teams that are kind of in that fray. So I would probably have to put my main bet on them. But I think Edmonton is going to be able to keep up with and maybe pass San Jose here. The head-to-head meeting is going to be excellent. There's some real exciting games just based on the standings. They've got some – they should be playoff-type games where home ice advantage potentially on the line. We're really going to see whose game is where heading down the stretch here. San Jose looks like they've gone really, really far in the wrong direction. I don't know if they'll be able to get it tracked in time. So I'd say Anaheim 1, Edmonton 2 is probably the way it goes, and then it's just a matter of whether San Jose can fend off the Flames.
Should be a good one, Shocker. We'll see you at the rink tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, pal.